Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to Kumbaya Thursday on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah,
where
don't
all
argue
we do
with me
is
no
agree
more.
100% of the time. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here. Final hour of the show. 60 minutes on the clock. We'll be using it because in the All-Star game, they won't be in the fourth quarter. Lots of basketball talk in hour number two. But
way too much. It was just, oh, God, way too much basketball talk.
Okay. Well, then what would you want to talk about? Bill O'Brien?
Basketball.
No. See?
No. Don't want to talk Bill O'Brien for sure.
So no Super Bowl thanks. Is Sunday. We've got that to look forward to.
Yes.
I did not realize until I heard Granado's commercial. By the way, we are the home of the XFL and the Roughnecks.
Correct.
So that's very cool.
Yes.
Granado and Nate Griffin are going to be
the only real
games.
Football team in this town.
Nate Griffin, is that?
Nate Griffin is going to be the
new
analyst.
Ad?
So the release came out. It is Granado doing play-by-play. Nate Griffin doing
color commentary.
Okay. Nice.
And the in-stadium host for the team itself.
My guy.
Raheel.
I like it. I told him, man, I'm happy for Raheel and the opportunity. That's a big deal.
No doubt.
It is a huge deal because this is one of those things that Raheel could use to parlay. Stepping stone. He could be out. Raheel could be big time 2 years from now.
You know what I thought was interesting? I was talking to him about it at the Gal Media party that we had last weekend.
Yep.
He was saying that he does interviews after each quarter.
Ooh, wow.
With the players?
Yeah. Wow. And there's situations where when he's doing the interview after each quarter, and I forget the reason why, where they might be, I guess, they're coming off a bad quarter. Teammates might be angry, so it's an awkward situation. But I think the XFL wants that. They want interviews after each quarter. At least that's the way Raheel told me they were going to do it when he begins his duties as the in-stadium. What's the title? Reporter or?
Mm-hmm. Well, you said floor chick. He's the field chick.
Yeah, the field chick. Yeah.
Isn't that what you called old girl?
Raheel's the field chick. No, I called her the floor girl.
Aren't you the floor girl?
What?
Yeah, so he's the field guy.
Yeah. She's no low. She's been replaced. It's all good.
Yeah, okay.
Lucky
for you.
I know.
Now, getting into some football, too. I know this was something that you wanted to get to a couple days ago, and I believe it's still relevant, and I believe it's still kind of under the subtitle of what the hell are they doing? The Texans made a lot of moves recently. And you
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we knew about John Pagano, the linebackers coach, and we knew about Romeo Crennel, and then we knew about the promotions for Easterby and your favorite guy Bill O'Brien.
Mm.
But they made some not so publicized moves too. And you just keep going, scratching your temple, going, what is going on over there?
Yeah, I reached out to him and asked him to come on the show. He never responded, probably because we're not friends on Twitter, don't follow each other, so I don't know that he saw the message. But Texans decided to let go of J.J. Moses, who was the director of player engagement for the team. The same player engagement program that was recognized as the best player engagement program in the NFL by the NFL. So, of course, the most Texans thing to do would be to fire the guy that runs the program that was honored and recognized by the NFL as being the best player engagement program in the sport. So the Texans go, well, that's just not good enough for us. We're used to sucking. We're used to letting our fans down. We're used to doing things the wrong way, not the right way. JJ, you got to get out of here, bro. And you just look, I know you did good. That's not us.
But
we don't do
good. There's a
trend
here, Barry.
We don't do good, bro. We don't do good.
So that program, best in the NFL,
uh-huh.
JJ gets removed.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Kaplan won athletic trainer of the year for the NFL a couple years ago.
Gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Reassigned, quote unquote.
They got rid of several other people, but that just amazed me. Like, what are you, what goes through, unless there's dirt we don't know about on J.J. Moses, what are we doing over
the wrong J.J.? Administrative assistants.
It's true.
Are they responsible for the bad drafts? Because they got rid of executive assistant of football administration, Eva Graham, pro and college scouting administrative assistant, Amber Davies. You telling me these guys didn't draft the right people?
Assistant strength coach, Jason George. Coach performance therapist, Billy Voltaire. Yeah, these are the reason they choked away a 24-point lead and chose to go for it on 4th-and-3 with a fake punt and didn't go for it on 4th-and-1 and kick the field goal. Of course, these are the guys and gals that made those decisions. Obviously. Obviously, these are the ones that sucked it up and caused them to lose. This is no doubt in my mind, and this is great front office management by a great front office.
I just, and the thing that, you know, we were,
you know,
so
who never
deep
do
in,
this, the Roughnecks would never do stupid stuff like this. I'll tell you that right now.
Or the Packers. That's why it's your team.
Go next. No, we probably can't do that, Shane.
The thing too, we've mentioned in the past as it relates to this story, but it becomes more and more evident every day. You and I are doing the show yesterday, and we're in deep in conversations on several different topics. And I look up at the ESPN on the monitor, and on two different shows, they are talking about the promotions of Easterby and especially Bill O'Brien going, seriously, Houston Texans? No, really? You promoted Bill O'Brien?
The most Texans thing they could have done.
On two different national shows, the butt of the joke was, what are the Texans doing?
Yeah, no, the butt of the joke was the Texans because they are the joke.
Man.
It's unbelievable.
And
it's
yet the
really
owner's telling you in their pursuit of 2020s and pursuing the world championship. Not a Super Bowl, by the way. You're the owner. But that's fine. You're pursuing a world championship with these guys.
You know the Texans don't care either. They don't. They will push the gas further every time you criticize whatever move that they made. I remember when they gave him that extension that we didn't think, or at least I didn't think Bill O'Brien deserved the first time.
I didn't either.
They had that video, that meme of they put Bill O'Brien's face, I think, on Leonardo DiCaprio from the movie Wolf of Wall Street about how he's not going anywhere and the police can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what they're saying. Yeah, we gave him an extension and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to carry that mentality over to this situation too with him being promoted to GM.
I don't think it changed. Really, really, really bad look for a team that doesn't need it. But like you said, they don't care. I was talking to someone in another state on the way here today too, and they said the same thing. They're like, "What is going on over there? Is it just all he cares about is making money?" I go, absolutely. It's the bottom line is the bottom line in this case. As long Cal McNair, whether it's true or not, because we don't hear from him. And all we did here was the one press release they put out when they promoted Bill O'Brien.
Which, in that, he said that the reason they kept him is because they won a division title, which we've explained, or I explained early in the week. That's second base. Congratulations. You're filling up the NFL every year. Great.
And so,
good job.
All we keep here, that's the only thing we hear from the owner. And what we've said over and over again, too, is the fact of the matter is, as long as they're winning division titles, then they're in their mind they're winners. But the most important thing is, as long as they're making money, as long as they're rolling in it from, and they're not costing anybody any money, it seems like Cal McNair doesn't care.
No, it's very bizarre that he sees a guy that chokes away playoff leads or just gets blown out in the playoffs, like as the case 2 years ago, and just thinks that that's the direction that he wants to continue to go. He likes the way they're trending, really, because the trend is, you get your ass whooped in the divisional round. That's the trend. That's the trend, Cal. Great regular season, ass whooping in the divisional round. Or wild card for some in some cases. But congratulations, you've never gotten past the divisional round with Bill O'Brien. That is a trend.
And what we said, too, is when every other team in your division has made an appearance in the conference championship game.
Yeah, they're making a big deal out of that,
and
man,
you haven't. People notice.
Colts fan Jose said, I follow Colts fan Twitter pages, and they are all posting thanks to the Texans for promoting Bill O'Brien.
It's now become it's a national joke. It's not just the frustration of a lot of people locally that have to deal with the ins and outs of this franchise on a daily basis. It's a national joke. I've told you, there's a former Packer player, Mark Tauscher, who has a radio show in Milwaukee. And when the headline came out that Bill O'Brien was promoted, and then it further, this was after they had already fired Chris Olsen and everybody that became Romeo Crennel was reassigned, all the scapegoats for the missteps of Bill O'Brien. When Chris Olsen got fired, he tweeted out, yeah, because he's the guy that tried the fake punt with the 24-point lead, and he's the guy that couldn't figure out fourth and one and all these other things. Everyone everywhere sees this except for on Kirby and Cal McNair's office.
It's crazy. By the way, I just saw Kingwood is trending on Twitter.
Why?
Why?
And I didn't know why. Ed Gonzalez, sheriff. Breaking, there's an emergency alert at Lone Star College, Kingwood. It is not a drill. It is a lockdown. They're advising to go to the nearest room and lock the door. Student check email for further instructions. That was about an hour ago, 40 minutes ago. Wendy Lopez sent a tweet out with a video that shows cops going room to room at Lone Star Kingwood. And there's a video of a classroom where the cops enter and sweep the room, leave, go to the next room. Like, and this room is dark, and they just poke in and put the flashlight out. Like, this is...
That's serious stuff.
Yeah, man.
Wasn't...
I hope everything's okay out there.
Have another issue like a year or two ago?
Yeah, Barry.
You're right.
Yeah, Barry claims them.
That's not the issue. I think there was another...
No, there was. There absolutely was. There was
a shooting. Or shooting. It might have been a shooting. Or,
yeah. Oh, you're right. I think it was a stabbing, as a matter of fact.
So what's the deal with... I think it may be at a different location.
They billed it as an active shooter, and it later turned out the guy was running around with a knife.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get the facts.
And I also don't know if it was... There's several locations, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's several Lone Star colleges, community colleges. What, do they go by community college anymore? Or is it just Lone Star College?
What's their nickname?
It's just Lone Star College because I'm on the...
I don't remember. I never know.
It's what you gave it to him.
I give him a new one every time. It's like that show, Sit Down or whatever. Like, I give it every time. I don't remember. And everybody tells me what it is, and I'm like, I'm not following that in the memory banks. But, man.
Well, hopefully everything's okay. Kingwood. That was
a mass
terrible.
Stabbing in 2015.
That's what it was, yeah, stabbing.
A mass stabbing at Lone Star College in 2015. Now it's a shooting, I think, allegedly.
And how recently was this going on? On social media.
An hour ago. 40 minutes ago was when they showed video. So I don't know where they're at in the process, but
I'd be afraid to go to college these days, man.
Scary.
Well, but you can say that about just about anywhere. Yeah. Be afraid to go to a phone store. Be afraid to go to the movie theater. It's the mall. Every place these days.
Pretty crazy.
I know one place you can go to if you're looking to get a great deal at a very low price, and that's the Toyota Center for the Rockets games. Coming up, they got a special deal going where you can spend a game out with the Rockets and take advantage of a 2 for $2 special when you go to see the Hornets from Charlotte on February the 4th. You can purchase a ticket, actually two tickets. How about this? Two tickets, $49. That gets you two tickets to the game, two hot dogs, two drinks, either beers or sodas or waters, whatever. Two drinks of your choice, two hot dogs, and two tickets to a Rockets game for $49. How do you beat that? Whether it's date night or you and your buddy want to go, or maybe you and your wife want to get out for a night, whatever the case may be, pretty easy to do when you realize how affordable it can be. Two tickets for $49, starting as low as $49, two hot dogs and two drinks of your choice. For one great price, $49. All you got to do is get to Rockets.com. You already know that Rockets.com is the one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets, but this is now your chance to see Harden, Westbrook, and the rest of the Rockets take on the Hornets with Scary Terry and the rest of Charlotte's team. All you got to do to get your tickets, go to Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And as we do kick around different topics, get deep into discussions, we also like to make sure we get you breaking news or close to breaking news when it pops up. And this has just popped up as breaking on ESPN. The Red Sox and the Dodgers are, quote unquote, deep in talks for Mookie Betts to leave the Red Sox and become a Los Angeles Dodger. The two sides have taken it to the point of also possibly using a trade combination that would also involve left-hander David Price, who's overpaid and underperformed, on $96 million still left on that deal. But the Dodgers have a very large range of very talented players in their farm system that would be attractive to Boston. And as a side note, keep in mind that if Mookie goes and they need someone coming in, George Springer grew up in that neck of the woods as a Red Sox fan, and that would open the door for being competition at the very least for the Houston Astros in keeping George Springer long term. But that is the out there right now, according to Buster only, the Sox, Dodgers talking Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is one hell of a player, and he is five tool.
Yeah.
Making $27 million, I believe, for on a 1 year deal they agreed to.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think the easy thing is to say that they're doing it to make room for George Springer, but I don't know.
I'm not
know.
Saying they're going to make it. I'm saying that there's a place for George to be.
So that's not what they said in the report. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying somebody was reporting that.
Nope.
Because the same thing you're going to have, you know, if you don't want to pay Mookie Betts, whose market value is probably upwards of $30 to $35 million a year at his age and skill set, then you probably don't want to have to pay George Springer that. And I think the risk right now with Mookie is you only have him with this year left. So he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he's going to command and get top dollar. Do they want to commit long term to a guy at his age? George Springer's 30.
Well,
Mookie Betts at 27 and $35 million a year versus George Springer at 30 and $35 million a year. I like the value of Betts better.
I don't disagree, but here's the other thing. Because we just mentioned one of their horrendous deals that they've made long-term recently in David Price.
Yeah.
Chris Sale, who, yeah, when they first got him, it was the right move to make, and they won a World Series. But he's had arm problems, and he hasn't been the same. And you keep looking at it, and a very un-Red Sox-like thing to do is exactly what they seem to be doing, which is they're looking to cut salaries all over the place. They cut two right there if they can get Betts thrown in with David Price, get those off the books. They already were considering doing something with J.D. Martinez at the end of last season. And J.D. Martinez was a hell of a player as a designated hitter for them, but making a very large salary.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the Red Sox have a totally different mentality than what we've always known them to be with Red Sox, Dodgers, and Yankees spending all the money.
Could be. And yeah, it's been some bad contracts. And but I feel like in this case, this is simply a matter of the fact that it wasn't a 1 year deal for Betts. I think that's a little misleading. I want to say this was his final year of arbitration. So he was arbitration eligible, just like Springer is. Springer got 21 in arbitration. Betts got 27 in their fourth year.
Right. Yep.
So they both become unrestricted free agents.
I believe it was the largest arbitration contract in the history of baseball at 27.
For Betts. Yeah. So they both become unrestricted free agents a la Garrett Cole. And they both can test the waters, and they both can go out and get paid. And I think that the Red Sox are trying to avoid the losing bets and getting nothing back. And so they're probably like, hey, at this point, we don't feel like we want to commit to him long term for whatever reason, or we don't feel like we can outspend the Yankees or the Cubs or the Dodgers or whoever else because we have money tied up elsewhere, plus luxury tax and everything else. Let's get a little younger out there and get some stuff back for him before we lose him.
Now, if you're the Dodgers, do you Bill O'Brien? Do you not sign him to an extension as part of the trade? Because you're giving up a boatload of, at least the way it looks here. One, you're doing them a hell of a favor by taking David Price and Mookie Betts.
Sure.
But two, they're throwing out there that some of the top prospects in the Dodgers organization have been mentioned as part of this move, including Dustin May and Alex Verdugo, who was up with the big league club for the second half of last season. But if you're going to give up top prospects for Mookie Betts and you're only going to get him for 1 year.
I don't know.
Do you want him long term? Because you would think you put
David Price or Mookie Betts?
No, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
You put Mookie Betts in right.
I think Mookie Betts at 27.
You got Bellinger in center.
Yeah. I'd pay long term for Mookie Betts.
I would too. Corey Sager is your.
I would rather lock up Mookie Betts at 27 and he'd be and play 7 years and be 34 than George Springer at 30 and play 7 years and be 37. When you know Betts is going to cost you a little more, but he's 3 years younger and really produces. I think if you made me pick between the two, I'd say Betts is a better overall player than George Springer.
Well, I would say this. The other thing you factor in too is injuries.
Yeah,
Mookie Betts stays healthy.
That's a great point. A great point.
Yeah, so that's something else to consider.
David Price has 2 years left on his deal. And it's fully guaranteed deals. Remember, this is baseball. Mm-hmm. He's got 32 this year, 32 next year, and 32 the year after. If I'm the Dodgers, no way do I want that
money.
So
I said 96.
I don't want that.
Now, and the Dodgers obviously have just been in full go-for-it mode because before this trade started to kind of come together, they were trying to get Lindor from the Indians.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at what the Dodgers already have in place and you add a Mookie Betts, you can't say that they're not getting better.
No, and I just don't see that David Price is worth the money got.
That's only like doing them a huge favor. If you're going to have to take David Price on too, then I don't have to include my top prospects.
No.
Because I'm doing you a double positive. Because
if it was his last year or 2 years total, but it's 3 years of $32 million, no way.
Yeah, I don't see it, man.
I wonder where the Dodgers are on the luxury tax. That would be interesting. Because... You know, and the Red Sox. I imagine both of them are probably pretty close, right? So, oh yeah, Red Sox are $10 million into the their luxury tax bill is $10 million. Mm-hmm. Yankees are $21 million. Astros are $3 million. Cubs are $1 million as of right now. So, Dodgers. I don't even believe the Dodgers are close. Angels are eighth. Yeah, Dodgers are 12th on this list as far as getting close to the luxury tax. They have $33 million in space before they hit the luxury tax threshold. So essentially, you're taking on Mookie's $27 million and $32 million. You're going to take on $59 million?
But you are the...
It's going to put you in the luxury tax.
Yeah. But if anybody can handle it, it's the Dodgers. The Dodgers and the Yankees... They don't have the issues that the Red Sox have, and then with their network deals, their local network cable deals and everything like that.
Well, this move, if you move Mookie for prospects, you get under the luxury tax threshold if you're the Red Sox. And that doesn't include any other moves, but it does put you under the threshold.
But it also tells your fans, you're probably not going to be very good.
Mm.
Now, if they can get out of Pedroia's contract, because he had a setback, he's thinking about retiring, there's another one you could take off the books.
Yeah. Who else is there? Yeah. So you got David Price at 32, Betts at 27, JD Martinez at 23, Chris Sale at 20. And I'm okay with Chris Sale because
he's sign an extension, though?
He's only 31. Oh, yeah. No, he's there through 2025.
Yeah, and it goes up significantly after this.
And that's
year,
a vested. Yeah. So he's an unrestricted free agent in 2025, but he's vested at 20 mil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've still got another 4 or 5 years. And that's okay because I still think Chris Sale has a lot of good years left in him.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I think his arms had a lot of wear and tear, and he's had a lot of injuries with it recently.
I mean, last year was not a great year for him, but there's no reason to believe that that looks like more of the exception and not the norm, unless last year was it. Like, he just fell apart, but he only pitched in 147 innings, but every year before that, world class. So, okay.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm just not going to be shaking in my boots when I see the Red Sox if you're taking Mookie Betts off of that team.
I would agree. It's a big blow. I mean, he's a big part of that organization. He is their George Springer or he's their Altuve. Pick one. But he's one of those two guys for that team.
When are you going to be a free agent, Barry?
What? This is so random.
I just wanted to pick on you.
So random.
Pick on you. I'm sorry.
First of all, talk about the 3 years he's got left on his deal at exorbitant amounts of money.
Yeah.
I mean, let's.
Oh, yeah.
Whoo!
That's it.
God, he's making A-team money. So that being said, we've got a half hour to go in the show. We'll put 30 minutes on the clock and take you all the way till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. All you got to do, keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm always about change. I'm a guy that how many men 70 years old have a 20-year-old son? And I just had my first grandchild 15 days ago. So, you know, like, I enjoy and embrace, you know, being modern, but also being old school at the same time. And I don't see why we can't combine the both of them. Since I've been in the game and since I've been managing, there's always been something similar to analytics. It just didn't have a name. You know, every day I would write down first batter efficiency out of the bullpen, left-right matchup, who hits in the double plays, who's going to prone to the strikeout. So, see, this isn't really new. It's just we just put a name on it compared to what it was before.
That was your new Astros manager, Dusty Baker, at the press conference today over at Minute Maid. I guess that somewhat answers the question we had about him in analytics.
Boy, that does not make me feel good.
I saw your face as we were listening to all of this.
That stuff does not sound good to me. The old, oh, well, we've always had analytics. We just didn't call it that. No, Dusty. You haven't always had analytics because the shift is a thing that, mm-hmm. and I was talking about this with Josh Rapp on Twitter. What is the point of analytics? Well, analytics, you get spray charts and you see percentages and you it's, you know, there was the book. You always go lefty, lefty matchup or righty, righty matchup or this, that, and the other. If you're out in the field and you play those matchups and pinch hit and all those things. But analytics is something that takes it to a whole other level. Yeah. You start looking at, you know, okay, this guy, 80% of the balls that he puts in play are on the right side of the infield, so we're going to put a guy in shallow right field to increase the possibility of getting an out, and you don't waver from that. You don't not do it, even though some guy goes the opposite way on you one time and it pisses off Justin Verlander.
Right.
You don't go away from that. AJ Hinch is like, no, it doesn't matter if the pitcher's upset. We play the shift because we play the numbers. Dusty's not going to do that. And if people think he is, it's just not going to happen like that. Will they play the shift? I'm sure they will because he's going to have the data. But you don't – hearing him say there's a way to do it the new school way and the old school way, that scares me to death.
It takes the essentially it takes tendencies to another level because it's now on a regular basis what happens, right? And – we knew going in, Dusty Baker was an old school manager. But that's why we had the question of how important is analytics? Will he use analytics? The shifts, all these other things. And there's plenty more where that comes from. First of all, by the way, if this is the same kid that was the bat boy that Barry Bonds and everybody almost took out at home plate that time, and he's 20?
Wow.
One, Dusty Baker's old. And yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, Dusty was there when Abner Doubleday came up with the idea for baseball. This dude is old. He was there when the game was invented. I'm surprised they don't call it Dusty Ball. It's like this. This is, I mean, far be it from me to judge, but 70, that worries me, man. Not from a standpoint of he's not functional and smart and has a snap and all that. There's just you don't. If you're 70, I'm sorry. Okay, let's just put it out there. How many 70-year-olds do you know that change the way they are and who they are?
Yeah, you don't.
You don't. No one 70 goes, you know what? I'm gonna brace this newfangled internets and analytics, and I'm gonna get on this Tinder face and all these things. No, nobody's doing that at 70.
You call it Dusty Ball?
Dusty Ball. That's what. Just get ready. Dusty Ball is coming.
Tinder face. You're on that Tinder face thing, dude.
Get
there.
Ready. Shout out to Mike. He came up.
If there's too many, if there's
that's
too,
coming.
Too much Dusty Balls is gonna turn into a dry spell, and then the team's not gonna win games. So, Jim Crane was asked on the topic of analytics if he had discussed analytics with Baker before the hiring. So what it sounded like.
When it comes to the analytics, how much did you dive into the Astros analytics during the interview process with Dusty? And do you believe that he'll be able to satisfy, I guess, the fans' expectations of the Astros' use of analytics, which we've seen over the past few years?
Well, we talked about it. Dusty explained it pretty simply. I mean, the data is available. He'll have help. He's certainly a very smart guy, so he'll get to speed very quickly on how we like to do things and some of the reasons we do things. And, you know, I've worked with the baseball ops on big deals, and when they put the information in front of you, you can get to a result pretty quickly. So I don't think you'll have any problem with it. We've got good people that can deliver it in a concise way, and we do it with the players where we really don't try to overload them. We just work on the things that need to get done. So I have no problem that he'll take this and run with it and apply it how he feels that he can win games and he can help the players. And that's what we'll continue to do.
I'll tell you what that sounded like to me. Whether Dusty's used it in the past or not, you're going to use it here.
I think there was some of that.
Yeah.
Now, the saving grace is this is a one-year deal.
Right.
This is a, like I said when they announced it, that it was probably going to be the case. This isn't a baseball move. This is a damage control move. That is why Dusty Baker is here for this season. So this isn't a long-term solution. This is
also 70 years old. Even if you wanted a long-term solution, it may not be on the table or otherwise.
We signed Dusty Baker to a 15-year deal.
He will be able to fulfill at maximum 4 or 5.
One of them is guaranteed. And that's not even talking about the contracts.
No.
Barry Warner asked him about the one-year deal, actually.
Oh, did he?
Oh, did he?
Jim, why only a one-year deal with a club option?
We don't discuss our contracts on our managers, but Dusty's here. His goal is the same as ours, to win a championship, and hopefully there's more than one. So that's all I can comment on that.
Again, because it's a damage control move and not a baseball move. This is a baseball move. It's a multi-year deal. This is not a baseball move. This is a damage control move. My only thing is I hope Jim Crane has accounted for the cost of ink and paper with the analytics.
Because he's going to print out so much.
Yeah, oh my God. And not only that, but do you know how big the font is going to be? It's going to be like 6 words a page. Whereas before, they would hand an iPad to AJ Hinch. Bro, he's going to have reams and reams of papers with like 6 words on it because, you know, he can't see. I can't read it that close.
Well, that's why Barry Warner's there, because Barry Warner's going to tell you, having from experience, been how to get through some of these moments.
Oh, Barry Warner's breaking all the news this season for the Houston Astros with Dusty Baker as the manager.
To where? Asian Southwest Media?
They've probably known each other for 47 years.
That I would not doubt.
They were there. Bro, when Moses parted the Red Sea.
I'm asking him.
Dusty and Barry Warner were on the other side talking baseball. He was like, boom, split the season. There they are, talking baseball on the other side. That's
Mark Berman's going to be so mad.
Where'd you get that breaking news from? I've known Dusty Baker for 47 years.
It's going to be funny because Dusty's going to call Mark Berman Young Buck. Listen, Young Buck. Mark's going to be like, I'm young again. No, you're not.
All right, I'm going to see if Barry will answer by the end of the show. I just said, how long have you known Dusty? I just want to see.
I really want to know.
Yeah, I want to know too. Because I think you're right. Because, you know, Dusty played for the Dodgers in the 70s. That was when Barry was like 27. So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's
so
a really good possibility. Seriously. I remember when Barry asked him on the show, you were there at Super Bowl I. He was like, yeah, I was right there. I was like, really? You were there at Super Bowl I? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Oh,
that's
man.
Impressive.
Barry, you were at the Ice Bowl? My chest hair was frozen.
I knew Dusty Baker when he was just a cook, not a baker. Okay, Barry. That's not.
So Baker also was obviously going to get asked at some point about how he felt about the entire sign-stealing issue. So with that being said, I'm intrigued to see what he's going to say about that.
LFA said, don't just worry about the budget on paper and ink, toothpicks.
True, we said that.
Sorry.
So here's Baker on sign-stealing.
In the past, you've had strong feelings about sign-stealing that wasn't as, you know, high-tech as what the Astros have been accused of doing. What was your feeling from an outsider in terms of what was done and how it was done? And do you still feel as strongly about sign stealing being so against the game and what it's all about?
Well, I mean, I wasn't there. And you know, my feelings haven't changed. You know, my feelings haven't changed as far as, you know, gamesmanship and playing the game. But at the same time, you know, we have to go forward. You know, we can't go backwards. And you got to go forward and make sure that it doesn't happen again. I mean, it's certainly not going to happen on, you know, my watch here. And I don't foresee it happening ever again because this has been an embarrassment for, you know, for a lot of people.
So easy to translate that, by the way.
Yeah.
I do believe in sign stealing, but we have to move on from it. That's exactly what I got from that. What do you guys think? Am I crazy?
Actually, I think it was you can steal signs from second base, but we're not going to use cameras to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to steal signs. We're just not going to use cameras and trash cans.
I would say that was awkward because
good for Jerome for asking that question.
Yeah, Jerome with the question.
Jerome solid.
And then he had to answer that, yeah. And he couldn't go back on what he had said previously.
Yeah.
But he had to answer it in front of the guy who owns the team responsible for the biggest sign stealing scandal.
But guys, that goes back to my point. This is exactly why Jim Crane brought in Dusty Baker, because when the Astros go and play the Yankees, when the Astros go play the Red Sox, when the Astros go to LA and play the Dodgers and the Angels, these are the questions that their media is going to ask whoever is the manager of this team. And you saw how Dusty Baker handled it. That was smooth on his part. Hey, I'm certainly not. It's okay. And he even addressed, look, it's a bad thing. We went through it. It was a black eye on a lot of this. So this is why he's here. To fade this. Dusty Baker right now, he's the first guys off of the boat onto the beach at D-Day. Got to go take those bullets for us, man. You just got to do it. That's what he's doing.
Well, it's going to be interesting because now the general manager job is the one that's open, and that's where you're going to either look at the same thing you're talking about. Is it going to be a short-term fix to take the bullets, to just try and, you know, get them through a year or two with all the contracts that are coming up that are going to be so vitally important to the success of this franchise going forward? Or are you going to get your long-term solution? Are you going to get a short-term fix? And it's going to be an analytics guy because he has to be. Because obviously, based on the quotes we heard and what Crane said, if nothing else, what you take away from it is, regardless of who Dusty Baker is with analytics, we're not stopping the thought process of using them.
That's what we're doing.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't realize how big and tall Dusty Baker is. Oh, yeah. I don't think ink is the only issue.
You don't think what?
Food is going to be an issue.
Wow.
He's big, dude. I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah. That's why he has a toothpick all the time.
He eats
all
the time. He just got done eating right before the first pitch.
Did he have one in during the press conference?
Did he what?
Did he have one in during the press conference? Did he wear sweatbands?
Well, I saw him put on he was putting on the jersey.
Oh,
at the press conference, and that's when I realized how big he was. He's bigger and Jim Crane's actually kind of a tall dude too. So he's taller than him. He's a big dude. I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah.
The buffet is going to be a problem.
Somebody said, okay, Barry, watch it with the old jokes. It's a level you haven't become familiar with yet. Sorry, old person. I don't care that you were offended. Turn your ham radio to something else then.
Charlie was defending the old folks today, too.
Like, what? So I bet that person is okay with me making jokes about other people, just not old people. Get over it, old people. An old person. Go listen to AM radio.
Well,
I don't know what to tell you. I know.
I mean, it's 3:43. He did pretty good.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I did good today.
Also.
Honestly?
Also, guess what I haven't mentioned in the 3 o'clock hour yet?
Uh-oh. We got time for that.
Go ahead.
I'm going to do it. I'm not doing it.
Go ahead.
We're going to get through a day without saying the P word. First of all, did I mention what Demetrius had texted about the prank phone call?
No.
Okay. Let's get that out of the way. We talked about the lockdown at Kingwood, at Lone Star College Kingwood. Demetrius said that it's turned out they've reported it was a prank phone call. And not an actual incident. Thank goodness. Right. If that turns out to be the fact that it was a prank phone call. Also, several people hit me up on the bets thing and they were like, well, Red Sox offered him 10 years, $300 million. He wanted $1,242. Well, that's why he didn't sign 10, $300 because he can get more than that on the open market and he knows he can. He can get more than $30 million a year.
Was it 2 years ago and during any time the Red Sox played and there was not a single person that was an analyst on any broadcast that didn't say he was a 5-tool player that was the best right fielder in the game.
Yeah, and he's going to get more than $30 million a year, so that's why he said no to their offer. He's going to get way more than that, I bet.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, final segment of the show comes up next. Barry's going to use the P word. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And I had no idea that I'd be sitting in this seat on this day.
You know, God has truly been good to, you know, to me and my family, you know, throughout my life, and especially, you know, this is my last hurrah. And I thought my last hurrah was in Washington, actually, because I gave all my stuff away. I went to find my shoes. I went up in the attic, and I found an empty bag. I didn't even have underwear. I didn't have anything in that bag. So,
wait, what? Who keeps their underwear in a bag in the attic? Like your old baseball stuff, but no underwear in a bag, and you keep them
in the
attic?
Like,
you got an automatic travel bag ready to go?
Why do you have underwear in the attic?
He's really old.
I will say this. Somebody said he made a quote at the press conference about the fact that he was listening to a Too Short album, and that Too Short said, "This is my final album." So Dusty said, "This is my final album." So you got to give a little credit to a man in his 70s that still listens to Too Short. Of course, Too Short is still is in his 70s also, so maybe it's not that big of a deal, really.
Is the one that's...
Uh-oh, that was... What happened?
I'm going to go against you here.
Okay.
I know this is shocking, but this is the show to do it.
Okay.
I just can't get out of my head, no matter how much we keep talking about the short-term deal, that I will not write off A.J. Hinch as a possibility for this team after the next year or so. I cannot see a scenario where you wouldn't consider it, because you know what? The bottom line is...
The scenario is he was the manager when they cheated. But Barry, that's the scenario.
Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
The fact of the matter is you're talking about a guy that named... With Alex Cora being the guy that was essentially the ringleader, whatever. He's the guy that was behind basically how it got to this point. They also roped in Beltran. But I think that overall, what was even very evident in the commissioner's statements was he was against it, he didn't like it, but he didn't do anything about it other than break a few monitors. So unlike even Luno, where they were saying, look, emails were sent, you know what was going on, and pretty much everybody to a man said he knew. Hinch, the biggest knock on him was he didn't do anything to stop it, but he was not for it, and most everybody said he was against it. I think the door's still open.
Do you?
I do. I really do. I wouldn't bring this up right now.
You're going to dig your heels in on this theory because I'm about to destroy it.
That's fine, but I'm digging in. I think Crane likes him enough, too, that I think that this is the short term, like you said, damage control, get you through a year or two. But I think AJ is a guy that he respects baseball-wise and analytics-wise, and I think he would consider it.
You got anything else you want to throw in there?
The stage is yours, sir.
If that were the case, why did he fire him? Because he was already suspended for a year. So why would you fire the man if he was going to be out for a year? You bring in Dusty as the interim. He gets you through it. Then you bring A.J. Hinch back. You don't bring A.J. Hinch back if you fired him for what he did.
You bring him because of the fact that, as we talked about, from a financial standpoint, for now. Because he's not going to put it out there.
Financial standpoint, you won't have to pay him. He's suspended.
We talked about this. What? For the betterment of the reputation and going forward to save face, to not get completely obliterated financially, people are going to say, look, you did the right thing. And until he considers
AJ Hinch. And then you destroy all that when you bring him back.
Well, but you know what? He'll deal with that then. And no. if Dusty craps the bed or this thing doesn't go right, or for whatever reason, I'm just saying, in my personal opinion, A.J. Hinch, it's not out of the realm of possibilities he could end up
being
the manager of the Astros
again. Jim Crane would get absolutely roasted if he brings him back after firing him. If you just let the suspension happen, you leave the door open to go either way and say at the end of the suspension, hey, look, we think that this harmed our reputation, we're going to move on from A.J. Hinch. Or you go, we think he learned his lesson after a year off, we're going to bring him back. But you don't fire him while the suspension is out there and then bring him back. That makes zero sense.
It doesn't. Because let me ask you a question. Has the New York Yankees ever brought back a manager? Maybe Billy Martin? Maybe more than once?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple times?
Sure.
It happens. And I think that...
That was a weird dynamic, though. That wasn't just cheating and getting busted by baseball.
But it was also a really big relationship between Steinbrenner and Martin.
That wasn't this, though. This is a black eye on the entire sport of baseball.
Okay.
And you were the skipper when it happened.
I will say, I feel like if the commish had anything to do with it, I don't know if Jim Crane goes ahead. Like, let's say Jim Crane really did want to rehire A.J. Hinch. But what if the commish says, you know what? I don't think that's a good look for the league. You think Jim Crane still pulls up?
No,
still hires him?
If he gets that kind of pushback and resistance, then I'm sure, obviously, he has to consider. I'm just saying, my gut feeling from my own personal point of view is the door is not closed on A.J. Hinch managing the Astros again in the future.
I would agree if you would have just stopped that the door isn't closing for A.J. Hinch managing, but you don't fire him if you're bringing him back.
I think he'll have offers after this year. I think when the suspension is lifted, I think he'll have offers this year.
I went on record. I think he'll manage again. A lot of people don't think he will, but you and I both think he'll get another job. I just don't think it's with the Astros because you don't take the steps that Jim Crane did to rectify the situation and then just poop all on that by bringing him back.
I think Jim Crane, like you said, damage control to look like to really get people to believe how serious this was and to give them a chance to not just completely get left in the dust financially from ticket sales and otherwise. He did what was best for the franchise moving forward. We talked about that. But I think that there's no doubt in my mind he'll consider him in the future.
Okay.
We'll see. Write it down.
And I'm Skip Bayless.
I'm not trying to get clicks here. I'm not trying to get any kind of
Drip Bayless. Yeah. Drip Bayless. By the way, somebody said, Barry, do you have any lawn care or landscaping advice
for
the near future?
No, he does not. And this concludes the show.
Let me finish.
The usual suspects.
Let me finish. Joel and I are about to hang out with the lawn god himself, Randy Lemon. He's got a new book out. He writes a book every year or two that talks about, just go get his book. Because 90% of what I learned was from Randy Lemon. So I'm
Nick, the minute he gives it to me, so you can borrow it to try and salvage something out of your yard.
Backyard.
I'm
going
to let him talk because I like Randy Lemon. I don't like Barry, but I like Randy Lemon, so I'm going to be nice.
You can fix your raggedy front yard, and I'm not talking about your beard either. I'm talking about you can actually fix your front yard with this book. I don't even know what the title is yet. I'm just pumped to get it. I bought his last two books. I am so ready to get this book.
I'm going
to
text a picture.
And it's free? What?
Of my lawn to you and Randy Lemon.
What are you laughing at? Who texted about me? What happened?
I got our answer, folks.
Uh-oh.
Barry Warner.
This is fantastic.
This is so good.
Anybody
so
want to guess? Anybody want to guess?
He
43 years.
Higher.
52.
Shut up.
48 years. Dang. He's a great man.
Oh, my God. Barry
He's
Warner's,
such a dinosaur.
Barry Warner's known Dusty Baker for 48
years.
That's more than half his life.
Nick, there's your in. No matter what kind of interviews or things we need on Astros baseball,
I'm being nice
this year,
to Barry Warner going
Barry
forward.
Barry frickin' Warner, 48 years.
How news. Old are the Astros? Are they 48 years old? Great. How old is the National League as a whole? I feel like these guys, they've known each other for 48 years. Oh, boy. You know, I feel like Barry's like, we got some catching up to do, but we don't have time, bro. If we start catching up now, we'll be out of here. We'll just have to catch up later. Like, in the big baseball diamond in the sky, because if we start now, we're not going to finish.
I mean, I think
48 years. Wow. Sorry.
Is it possible that the Dusty Baker Show could be on Asian Southwest Media?
Wow, I'm so glad you asked.
Does Dusty Baker know Chinese?
See.
Well, Barry Warner doesn't either. Never mind. They'll get a translator. All right. That'll do it for us on a Thursday. Tomorrow's an FEF Friday. Barry's already got three comedians to choose from before he narrows it down for Comedian of the Week. And we'll get you ready for Super Bowl. But before we do that, we'll turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, Aaron, AJ, they're coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.